Next week would normally be one of my funnest weeks of the year, National Wildlife Refuge Week. Oh, it's still going to be National Wildlife Refuge Week. Well worth celebrating. But it's going to be different for me in that I won't be getting to go in and visit with area classes about the week, which is normally a part of my annual calendar cycle. It's a chance to share with area students about a wide range of topics tied to the refuge system and its creation. I'm obviously biased, but there's a lot of cool history and some really neat things to know about the refuge system as it is today. I do plan to try and get some of that out to classes. It just won't be me standing at the front and doing the talking. That said, with it being Refuge Week next week, I can sure take advantage of the platform that this program allows me. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. My very first Field Notes episode was written and recorded in early October of 2007. It aired during this same week 13 years ago. The format was a lot shorter back then, a few minutes, and not long after I began recording Field Notes episodes, the station manager at the time, Nathan Grambaugh, encouraged me to lengthen them and gave me more time, and so it's been ever since. I'd like to share what was my first episode back then. This October 7th through the 13th marks yet another National Wildlife Refuge Week, celebrating our nation's system of land set aside for the purpose of wildlife preservation. Currently, there are 548 refuges scattered across the United States and its territories. For those of us that call Bristol Bay home, our connection is Togiak National Wildlife Refuge, just west of Dillingham. But do you know where and how our refuge system got its start? Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. In 1881, German immigrant Paul Krogel arrived in Florida to homestead along the Indian River Lagoon. Directly across from his home, Krogel could see daily Pelican Island, a small 5-acre mangrove island in the middle of the lagoon. Thousands upon thousands of brown pelicans would use this island to roost and nest. At that time, there were no state or federal laws to protect the birds, so Krogel would sail out to the island with his gun to stand guard. Krogel was able to form connections with several prominent ornithologists who would come to the island to study the birds. In 1901, he and Frank Chapman, who was the curator for the American Museum of Natural History in New York, led a successful campaign to pass state legislation protecting non-game birds. Krogel was one of four wardens hired to patrol the island. It was dangerous work, and two of the wardens were killed in the line of duty. Chapman realized that the island needed more protection than the state was able to provide. He was acquainted with Theodore Roosevelt, who had assumed the presidency of the United States in 1901. He and another protection advocate, William Dutcher, approached Roosevelt about the U.S. government stepping in. On March 14, 1903, and without a lot of fanfare, President Roosevelt signed an order establishing Pelican Island as the first federal bird reserve. Over the course of the rest of his presidency, Roosevelt would go on to establish a network of 55 bird and game reservations, the forerunner of our national refuge system. Pelican Island was the first of those lands set aside, and in being so, was our first national wildlife refuge. Oh, and Paul Krogel? He was hired at Pelican Island to be our nation's first wildlife refuge manager, for the sum of $1 per month. So, if someone ever asks you how Togiak National Wildlife Refuge came about, you can tell them honestly that it all started with a German immigrant and a bunch of pelicans in Florida. That was it, my first episode. For me, that seems like a long, long time ago, but everything has to start somewhere, right? I'm not even sure why I decided on that as a topic. Probably I had some nudge or guidance from my then-supervisor, Alan Miller. It was a good topic then, and it's a great thing to revisit today, as we stand on the cusp of another year's week of celebration. In considering that, I would note the mission of the National Wildlife Refuge System is to administer a national network of lands and waters for the conservation, management, and, where appropriate, restoration of the fish, wildlife, and plant resources and their habitats within the United States for the benefit of present and future generations of Americans. That's not mine. That's a word-for-word copy and paste from our national website. In some cases, the system protects certain species, though the overarching theme is that it's habitat that's protected. And I should note that there are other federal agencies that protect our nation's natural resources, such as the Bureau of Land Management and the Forest Service. However, it's the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which manages the refuge system, that's driven by wildlife and how it manages the resources assigned to it. The refuge system protects some of our nation's most iconic ecosystems and the fish and wildlife that rely on those ecosystems, such as the prairies of the heartland, the hardwood forest of the southeast part of the lower 48, and the vast landscapes of our desert southwest. The system also conserves waterways and critical ecosystems along rivers, streams, wetlands, coasts, and marine areas. Again, system lands and waters are different from lands managed by other agencies. Wildlife conservation drives everything on national wildlife refuges, from the purposes for which each refuge was established, to the recreational activities offered, to the resource management tools that are used. There are currently 566 refuges across the United States and its territories, not that 548 I mentioned 13 years ago. Each one had its own special purposes for which it was established, though a central idea that's common to all is that they target the conservation of native species dependent on those lands and waters. All activities are reviewed for compatibility with that statutory purpose. The National Wildlife Refuge System has been called one of our country's greatest conservation success stories. The system, as mentioned, is managed by Fish and Wildlife, so I work for both the service and the system, proudly wearing the brown uniforms associated with the Fish and Wildlife Service. The refuge system has its own unique logo, a blue goose, as created by noted wildlife artist Ding Darling. In fact, some of you may have seen our very own blue goose at area events such as Beaver Roundup. We have a blue goose costume that's often on display during open house events and parades. The goose has a name, nationally, not just our refuge version, and that name is Puddles. When you see that iconic blue goose, you can know that it's the National Wildlife Refuge System that's being represented, kind of like an animal mascot, which I believe is something we can all understand and get behind. As I mentioned, there are 566 refuges. That's something of a fluid number, as more refuges are created and land is added to existing refuges each and every year. There is at least one refuge in every state, and a fair number of them are located close to major population centers, affording a great many city folk their best and sometimes only opportunity to have close contact with wild lands and wildlife. In fact, not but a few weeks ago, there was a day of recognition to celebrate urban refuges and what they mean to people living in urban areas. Closer to home, here in Alaska, we have 16 refuges, which may not sound like a lot in light of 566 total, and given the size of our state, but my oh my, the ones we have, they are huge, just like our state. Of our 16, 11 of them hold the top 11 spots, as far as size, out of that whole 566. And all 16 are found within the top 22. The largest is Arctic Refuge, followed by Yukon Delta and then Yukon Flats. In the number 4 spot, at close to 5 million acres of land, is the one near and dear to me, and the one that serves to employ me, Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Togiak Refuge has, what I like to tell people, are a bunch of numbers that can provide some definition to it, though it's certainly more than just about the numbers. First, there's that almost 5 million acres. Think of it this way. That's larger than Connecticut and Rhode Island, if you were to combine them. Of that, 2.3 million acres is designated wilderness area, which we manage a little bit differently than the rest of the refuge. And that's the second largest block of wilderness area in the refuge system. Some of the other numbers. We have 1,500 miles of rivers and streams, 600 miles of coastline, 500 lakes larger than 25 acres, over 500 types of plants, more than 200 bird species, 33 fish species, 31 land mammal species, 17 marine mammal species, and one amphibian species, the wood frog. So, to everyone listening, I'd say, happy National Wildlife Refuge Week. Some things to ponder as takeaways from today's episode. Refuges provide protected habitat for species all across our nation. The refuge system is a really terrific thing. And Togiak Refuge is, while admitting to a high level of bias, a very special, very unique refuge that's very close to us. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.